Welcome, friends, to the Girl Mom Podcast. This is Carrie Kempakis, your host. My guest today is one of my favorite follows on Instagram. Her name is Meredith Mann, and she's the owner of the Peachy Spoon. Meredith is a certified holistic nutritionist and a personal trainer. And what I love about her approach to food and nutrition is that she specializes in blood sugar levels and metabolisms. She shares lots of great recipes and quick, interesting videos of how to fuel your body well, yet also get the protein and nutrition you need to keep up with the demands of life. Meredith is also a wife and a mother of three kids, so she understands the need to keep it simple for families. She makes nutrition feel doable and not overwhelming, and she breaks it down into small habits that you can incorporate into a busy lifestyle. In my most recent book, More Than a Mom, Meredith actually wrote the testimonial for the body image chapter, and I want to read you that to give you an idea of her backstory, her heart, and her passion for helping others meet their health goals. The title of Meredith's testimony was What Making Peace with Your Body Models for Your Child. And she wrote this: My first diet started at age 19 when the enemy whispered the lie, you don't look like a personal trainer. Even though I was healthy and not overweight, and I had plenty of clients, this lie spiraled into an eating disorder where I was terrified of eating fat. All the compliments inspired me to overexercise and undereat, and though I knew I'd gotten too thin, I felt stuck. Before long, I gave myself cheat days. I drove my starving body from bakery to bakery and ate until I got sick, assuring myself that the diet would start tomorrow. Again, I felt stuck, trapped in the bondage of an all-or-nothing, restrict-binge cycle. Getting married and having children put me in a better place because I was happy. Still, I wanted to be healthier, so I did Whole30. I loved how I felt and decided to be paleo. But as a pizza night or celebrating with birthday cake started to make me feel guilty, I felt my old bondage creep back in. The Lord convicted me, helping me see how my desire to be healthy consumed my daily thoughts. Today, I have found peace with my body and food. I live in the gray area instead of the black and white mindset of good foods and bad foods and overthinking every bite. The Lord has turned my passion into a business where I now coach women and teens to properly feed and move their bodies to a place of abundance and freedom. It is possible, and what I hope to model for my children and clients is the positive impact we can have as we free up the brain space we've wasted on unhealthy obsessions with body image, food, or exercise, and use it instead to help others. No matter what age you are as a listener of this podcast, this message applies to all of us, and I'm thrilled to have Meredith on the show to share her wisdom and how to cultivate a healthy body image and set some healthy habits for summer. Thanks for tuning in, friends, and enjoy the show. Welcome so much to the show, Meredith. I am so excited about this conversation.
Me too. Thanks so much for having me.
Yes. I just love your Instagram, and like I said in the intro, sometimes you see things and it just feels like too much. I'm like, I cannot add that to my plate. But I think you just get it as a busy mom of three of how to just work it into a lifestyle, but just make sure that we're getting the nutrition and fueling our bodies the way that we need to.
Yes, I'm super passionate about simplifying it and like, how can we do this to make it sustainable so that we can really be the healthiest and feel good, yeah. You know, long term.
And you've said this before. I love how you talk about, especially for moms, you know, how you feel internally affects your response to others externally. You know, that we have more patience with our kids, that we're able to respond better. And I think that's something that really speaks to moms.
Yes, for sure. That figuring out how to really properly nourish my body and balance my blood sugar and all these things, I didn't know that I was, you know, having these mood swings and being anxious and all these things was really tied to my nutrition. And I had no idea. So it was definitely life changing. And that's kind of part of my fire for the passion of all this, just to make it easy.
Yeah. You know, and I think that even if we look at our kids, we see what food, you know, or like being hungry can do. I mean, I've got one daughter especially, and I'm like, I can't even talk to her if she's hungry. Like, she's a different person as, you know, if I try to talk to her before or out, you know, give her 5 minutes to eat something and then, you know, just what it does when you're hungry or in that, you know, that need to fill your body, you're not going to be your best version of yourself.
Right. Yeah. That blood sugar low hangriness is real. Mm-hmm. It's more intense for some people. I think just genetically, like you're just predispositioned like me. I was hypoglycemic and didn't know. And that was it's like this panic hunger and you're not yourself.
Yes, that's me. I found out about a year ago that I'm hypoglycemic and I'm like, this explains a lot.
Yes.
But I love that there's so much more talk. It's not about like diet culture when we were growing up, but the conversation has really changed. In many forms, not every form, but there is so much more talk about blood sugar levels and keeping it steady. And I love that that's what you focus on is about instead of having those spikes. And I've learned that with hypoglycemia that they're like, you know, if you just eat a banana,
your blood sugar level will go up, but then it'll crash because it'll spike and come down.
Yes.
So that was one, you know, some advice I got was always eat a protein with it. And I know you talk a lot about that too. If you're eating a carb, eat the protein with it, and that'll keep your blood sugar levels steady.
Yeah. So it's so much more about the pairing of the foods and that kind of stuff. Like, it's not like a banana's bad, but if you pair the banana with some healthy fat or even protein or something like that, it just softens that spike. And with the hypoglycemia, you know, that's low blood sugar, but people don't realize preventing the spike before is where the healing starts. Like, just to prevent that crash and really proper nourishing your body, just, yes, it makes you feel so much better. I'm glad blood sugar's gotten more trendy.
I know. I actually have a nephew who's working for a company that they're doing those glucose monitors. And I think there's this big rush to be the one that can do it, where it makes it easy to see your blood sugar levels throughout the day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. I've tested all my recipes and my plate balance with the glucose monitor. Like, I do think they're neat, and there is power and knowledge with that individual seeing the data.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even like the size of the sweet potato matters, not just a sweet potato, but if it's huge, it might give you a big spike and you don't know. So anything
interesting.
That. Yeah. It's cool to see the individual data, like I said, but also it can be information overload with the piece. So I'm like, I'll just do them every once in a while, because that's a lot to test it all the time. You know, you have to balance that being healthy, but also with the peace and rest, with the relationship with being healthy too.
Yes. And we, you know, some of the listeners might be moms, and it might be moms that send it to their teenage girls. I know that that's your audience too, that you work with a lot of teenagers and moms. And, you know, what is your biggest advice, the biggest, you know, if you were to tell a teenage girl or a mom, like, you know, just to try to start getting on a healthier track, but not in a disordered way with food and your relationship with food, what is some of your most important advice?
I would say most teen girls are just slacking on their protein. Like, it's just not very fun to sit around and eat chicken or something like that, you know? Like, we want goldfish and ices and all the fun stuff, you know? And so I think it's all food fits, and it's important to have those fun things too, but you're not going to feel your best and be like well nourished and even for your bone health long term and all the things and the muscles and all the things if you're not having your protein. So I think, you know, dinners, when moms were cooking, the dinners are usually pretty balanced. So it's really making sure your daughters are getting enough at breakfast and lunch at those meals, because it is easy for a school lunch to just be, you know, like I said, goldfish, fruit, maybe just one piece of turkey on a sandwich, you know, like, it's just not very protein heavy. So I think focusing on that and maybe adding some Greek yogurt, or like, what's some proteins that she'll eat? And honestly, the protein powders and shakes and bars, and some of those are way more high quality than they used to be, and it's not as junky, you know, in process. So those are great options too.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite bars? There's so many out there now.
There's a lot. So I like Built Bar. Really tastes like a candy bar. Like, that's one of my favorite, and that's really popular with teenagers.
Okay.
And they have them at Publix now.
Good.
And online, of course. But I would say, yeah, Built Bars, and I love those healthy eating on the go bars. You know, I share those on Amazon a lot, but those are great nutrition. Those are sweetened with honey, the healthy on the go. So there's not even sweeteners, but they aren't real high in sugar. So those are great. And they're actually made by mom. But those are some favorites, but it's a small company, so you have to order it from her. But anyway, but I love them.
That's neat.
They're really good.
You know, we were talking earlier just about the importance of getting the right nourishment. And, you know, one thing I hear a lot about in my work that I think moms need to be aware of, that it's, I don't think it's an eating disorder, but it's a new, it's what a lot of eating disorders look like in this day and age, is orthorexia.
Yes.
And it's something that really flies under the radar, because the girls are like, I'm eating healthy, you know, and I've even heard my girls come home, oh, she's so healthy, you know, she became a vegetarian. But then a lot of times it might start with being a vegetarian, but then you're cutting out all dairy, and then you're cutting out all the other foods. And so, you know, what I hear about a lot of my work is just the girl has an eating disorder, but it flies under the radar because the parent sees her eating, but she's only eating really super healthy foods, and she's cutting out some of the nutrition she needs. She's not getting the proper protein and healthy fats that maybe she also needs on top of the healthy carbs.
Yeah. I think a lot of the time with that, the orthorexia, it's almost kind of like a newer thing that people are talking about. But if you're cutting out whole food groups, or you're scared of them or anything like that, like, it could definitely be that. It also can go towards like the exercise and obsessing with that. Like, anything just in relation to overdoing and not the piece and the rest. But like you said, it can totally fly under the radar because they're not necessarily too thin and they are eating. Mm-hmm. But really, a biggie nutrition wise, like if you do go vegan, I feel like that's trendy now. It's really important to get their, you know, blood checked with their doctor. Like they're probably going to be really low in B, like B vitamins come from our meats and dairy and all that. So it's just really easy to be just malnourished with these like diets with a title kind of thing, especially when you're growing or in puberty or anything like that. Like nutrition is so important just to be healthy lifelong with all of that.
And we talked about this earlier, then you might know more of the specifics, but I had a doctor one time that said something about like you get all your calcium is in your bones by a certain age, maybe 22 or 23. I think it's pretty young.
Yeah, that's where protein is king of your plate. Like protein helps fuel your muscles and your bone, and then of course and your bones. But of course, like exercising too. But the biggie is the nutrition, especially in puberty. It can affect how we go through menopause, our second puberty, or the reverse puberty, or whatever you want to call it. So I feel like the moms listening, they're probably perimenopause, menopause. The girls listening might be like around puberty. So I feel like it's double whammy with like everybody needs their protein in these seasons of life more than ever.
Yeah. And I had a friend, you know, from years ago, and she has a lot of issues now, and she's pretty open with it. But she's like, you know, I had an eating disorder for 20 years, and so she's broken bones over the years. And she's like, my bones won't fuse back together because of her eating disorder. She was just didn't have that calcium in her bones that she needed. And I just think that's important for us to know, not only as moms but for girls, because you know, when a girl's just trying to look good in a dress or look good at the beach for the summer in her bikini, she's not thinking about the importance of not getting the nutrition she needs right now, what it might mean in 20 or 30 years.
Yes, like the lifelong. That was kind of me too with when my kids were little. I was running after Lydia. She was a toddler and going in the street, and I twisted my ankle. Anyway, I broke my foot and it would not grow back. And I had been doing Whole30 paleo for a couple years then. And so I was like, it was the no dairy, like my bones. Yeah. And I mean, I had a little bit of anorexia, you know, when I was 19, 20 and that kind of thing. So it wasn't like a 20 year long thing, but it was like there wasn't enough protein in that season. And then I wasn't eating any dairy at all for a couple years because I was paleo. And so that's when I was like this aha of like, I thought I was so healthy and like my bone won't even grow back. And it still sticks out. It feels fine. But I mean, just tell you, it was, you know, nutrition is very important to honor our bodies.
Yes. Well, I love the approach that you take. I think it's just such a healthy minded way to do it. And that's the key is like, you're trying to help your body be healthy, but do it in a healthy minded way. And I think that's key.
Yeah.
So we talked about, we're just going to share some healthy habits for summer. And the first thing we talked about is number one, the big thing is to hydrate. And I know we all know this, but why do we forget it? I mean, like, I feel like I'm always dehydrated. And my girls are so much better than me. They'll carry around their big water bottles. I fill it up twice a day, and I just struggle with this. But
yes, it's really hard. Some people just aren't thirsty, you know? Like, you know, it just is. So I always say what can really help is maybe even like setting a timer on your phone, like at 10 and 2 or whenever, like between meals, and just go chug a bottle or like really just drink some. And you just get more hydrated between meals than at meals. Like if we're chugging water while we're eating our meal, like it's fine to sip. But if we're really chugging, you're kind of diluting your stomach acid and then you won't digest your food as well. So it is important to really drink between meals when you remember. And then also what was a game changer for me is adding electrolytes to your water.
Well, I was going to ask you, there's so much you can add to your water now. So what do you recommend?
So, I mean, you can really just do a high quality pink salt if you want to. But there's also, you know, a lot of electrolytes out there. Element E, Ultima, like there's some great ones. I don't love the liquid IV because there's sugar added. And, you know, I specialize in blood sugar. So I'm like, what's the point in spiking our blood sugar? And, you know, when we're hot, it's not. It's kind of pointless. Like you could just do a Gatorade if you're going to add sugar. But really, it's the potassium and the sodium. It's really adding some minerals back to your water. It's kind of like the way the Lord intended our water to be, and our water doesn't have those minerals anymore. So it just makes your cells more hydrated. So with me, I didn't know if you're one that potties a lot and it's clear, like you drink a lot, you potty, you tinkle a lot and it's clear, your cells aren't hydrated. So it's just going straight through you. So adding some minerals to your water, even just once a day, can just make you feel so much more hydrated. And I literally don't get as many headaches. I'd say I'd get like half as many headaches than I used to since I've started adding minerals to my water.
That's so neat. Well, maybe we can link to that.
Yeah.
And is that, are those minerals, the mineral powders, can you find them at Publix or is it a special place?
I feel like Publix doesn't have many. Whole Foods does. But yeah, there's a bunch on Amazon.
There are. Okay.
Yeah.
So do you get most of your things on Amazon, would you say?
I do. Just because I don't, Whole Foods isn't like my regular grocery store.
Right.
So, but they're getting more and more popular for sure. Okay. Like the, you know, even adding some minerals to the water at the gas station, or there's some drinks there, or like the Body Armor Light, or there's a Gatorade natural one now. Like there's more and more that you could just grab too, which is nice.
And let me ask you, because I've got two going to college next year, and I'm always thinking, like, especially for Sophie, she'll be living in a dorm, and it's so hard to eat, to get your nutrition when you're in a dorm like that. So that would be good to send with her too, just some extra.
For sure.
Yes.
And especially, I mean, when you're in the heat and all that too, but also, I mean, it won't hurt anything. I do it year round. I love electrolytes. Like they were life-changing for me to be truly hydrated. It just makes you feel so good.
Yes. Okay. That's so good. Okay. So electrolytes with hydration.
Yes.
And your second idea, healthy habit for summer. I love this. And it's so true. Try new recipes. That summer is the time to do that.
Yes. Like just think about the busyness of the school year and like adding one more thing to your plate, especially, you know, towards the end, it's all crazy. I feel like that's just really hard and makes healthy way more difficult. So just to simplify, like if you really did have some recipes you've saved from Instagram or Pinterest or something like that, like buy the ingredients, maybe get your kids or teenagers to help, especially if they're kind of picky with veggies. I think when they help and cook and chop and all the things, it makes them maybe try some new things sometimes as they get a little older. I think mine are getting better at that. So anyway, I just think with the slowness of summer, like count that as a blessing and maybe, yeah, try some new recipes just to see. And it might be something new you love in your rotation that you could do all year long.
Yes. And, you know, I think especially we love going to the farmer's market down at the Dr. Pepper building.
Yeah.
You know, that would be so fun to go get your vegetables down there and then involve them in making it.
They're also fresh.
Yes.
You know, like all that. So let's take advantage of that and, you know, just to eat healthier all summer. I just think that's so easy.
Yes. And I heard a podcast, I can't remember which one it was, but they were talking about recipes and all of that. But she said, I think this was the right number, that sometimes kids have to be exposed to food 20 times to take to it. And I'm like, whoa, I don't think I did that. Maybe I didn't do that enough. Maybe that's why mine don't love vegetables, all the vegetables like I wish they did. But I'm like, that takes a lot of stamina.
That's a lot. 20's a lot.
20's a lot.
Yeah, so to put that in perspective, we can try some more.
Yeah, exactly. But we love like Brussels sprouts. It's funny, like as my girls have gotten older, and sometimes they've gone to a friend's house and they've seen the mom was making it or they enjoyed something there. They've come home and tried the recipe. But
yes. So,
like Brussels sprouts was one that I never thought they would like.
I know.
They really love Brussels sprouts.
Isn't it crazy? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do feel like, because I've had picky kids when they were young, but it was like once they were like preteen teenagers and at friend's house, and it's like, mom, she cooked all the, and I'm like, I cooked that and you won't eat it at our house. So anyway, so it is funny how they have to outgrow and try it at friends and realize that these foods are good.
And so tell me, so your older kids are boys. Is it, what do they like? Or how do you do that with boys versus girls? Is it different?
Yeah, well, they've gotten better. I feel like I have two boys, and then my youngest is 13. She's a girl. And so she's always had a better, not necessarily appetite, but she'll try stuff. Like she'll eat what I cook and that kind of stuff. But my boys have been picky. They have some food allergies. Like we have a peanut allergy. We have their shellfish. Like I feel like everybody's allergic to stuff these days.
Have that
I don't
too.
Know what we did.
Yeah, yeah, we have that too.
But anyway, so yeah, they're pretty picky. I like to call them. They were like chicken nugget kids, where I just too early. I would just fix them. That is, it
Me
was
too.
Easier.
Me too.
But they've gotten better. And my boys, they just, you know, they play sports, so they eat a lot of protein. I mean, they eat a lot of everything. So
right, what kind
now,
of protein? If you're fueling an athlete, what are some of your go-tos?
One of my boys, his favorite right now are these crunch wraps I make, like a Taco Bell crunch wrap with a wrap. But
yum.
I do these frozen, they're a chicken breast filet. I get them at Costco. They have them at Publix too, but it's frozen. And I do those in the air fryer. I do two or three and then wrap it in the crunch wrap and do it on the stovetop. And
yum.
He loves them.
So the crunch wrap, is that the lettuce wrap that you just buy the wrap?
Yeah, it's called Joseph's Pita wrap. So they have them at Walmart and Publix, but it's like a rectangular. It's in the deli section at Publix, but it's in a red bag. But anyway, you can fold it up kind of like a football. I have a post on Instagram showing how to, because everybody was like, you need to, you know, actually post you folding these teenager wraps that they love so much.
Yes.
But it's just hard to keep them full. Like when they get home from school, like they need a meal then, and then they eat dinner too. And so that protein really shuts off hunger and fuels them well for all those sports workouts and all that. So
yeah, and I know a lot of your videos, you'll go to show yourself at Costco. Is that where you shop primarily?
I do a lot, just because I feel like in the season of life I'm in, they're eating a lot. So we do Costco. I go to a lot, all the stores. I love all the stores. But yeah, I try to share, like easy proteins, because protein shuts off hunger like nothing else. Like I said, like it's they need the protein to feel nourished.
You said you do chicken. What else is good for protein?
Of course, mine love tacos. Like, that's a staple. Mm-hmm. Like, so ground turkey, ground beef, anything like that. But I always try to make extra. Like, that's my version of meal prep. Is like, if I'm going to cook tacos, I'll do, you know, like 3 or 4 pounds. And then I don't have to cook the next night. Or they can make some nachos when they get home from school. But just having that easy already cooked protein in the fridge just makes everybody more nourished, and it's just easier.
That's smart, because you're already doing it.
You're already doing it. Extra. Yes, the pans are already dirty. Yeah, the oven's already on. Yes. Like, let's do it.
You're in that mode.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm at the stovetop temporarily.
Yes.
That's so good. Okay. Yes. Okay. And then the third way we talked about is to move your body outside daily for a healthy habit for summer. I love that. You know, we've always loved walks, especially Harry and I really got into it during COVID, and then our family did too. Like, I would, you know, do walks with different girls, but you're talking about just there's a nutritional benefit to that too.
Yes. Well, I mean, our sleep quality, like walking in the sun, our vitamin D, like your circadian rhythm resets, like you'll just sleep deeper, and then you're the healthiest you if you're sleeping well. Like, sleep's so important. So just moving your body in any way. But I think walking's really underrated. I mean, it burns fat better than running. I mean, you know, like people think I'm just...
Does it really?
Yes.
Oh, I did not know that.
And it's not a stress.
Yeah.
It's like zone 2 cardio, they call it. So it's really, I mean... It's the best thing you can do. And I know people that, for me, I used to run all the time. I walk more now, but I feel like I would always have that lie of like, I'm not doing enough because I'm just walking or something like that. But it's amazing. It's like free exercise. Put on your shoes. Don't overthink. But I really, it does so many things. But blood sugar wise, if you walk after a meal, it lessens the blood sugar effect of the meal, just simply because you're using your muscles. So there's more room for that glucose to be stored. So you'll have a lower spike. So even a 10-minute walk after dinner like has a lot of health benefits.
Really? So you won't spike as high?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you do eat cake or you eat more chips than usual, like, you know, because I'll have people be like, well, now what do I do? I'm like, well, you can go for a walk. That's about the best thing you can do. Don't feel guilty and go for a walk, you know. But I mean, I think it is a great tool to use. Like, why not? If you can, it's just great. Yeah. Move your body more often. Make an appointment with yourself, because it's easy to be at the lake or do the, you know, just to lax on that body movement in the summer. And so I think make an appointment with yourself and follow through, walk with a friend, do something. But it's so great.
Yeah. And I've always enjoyed walking, but like I said, it was really during COVID that it became more, I mean, I was walking every day with somebody.
Yeah.
But now that's one of my favorite things to do with a mom. I'm like, okay, we can either meet for coffee or we can go on a walk. And it's so awesome to be, you know, you're getting the mom time and the conversation you need, but then also getting your exercise for the day.
Us too. My friends from high school, we still have a little group that we get together every once in a while, but we used to do like, you know, we used to do lunches or girls' night dinners, and now we literally just go for a walk.
Not funny.
I'm like, it's exercise and we're talking. Like, this is perfect.
You know? Perfect multitasking.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love walking. And it's funny too, I guess just being at my computer so much, and I've been writing a lot lately, I don't even realize what it does to my mood just walking outside. But there's some days that I've been at my computer for 5 hours and I'm like, oh, and just feeling so tense. And then the second I walk outside, it's like my body just relaxes. And I'm like, duh, this is exactly what I needed.
It's amazing. And your brain will feel fresh or something. Like, I get the best ideas when I'm going for a walk. I have to stop and write in the notes on my phone. Or I feel like the Lord's telling you something, like when you wake up from a dream. It's the same with walks. I think it's just the blood flow and like you feel smart or something.
Yes,
I don't know.
I know. I do. I think it's just amazing how it just, your body calms down and you don't even realize it. It's nature's way of taking care of you.
Yes.
And then the fourth healthy habit we talked about for summer was to leave a little flexibility in your plan, but don't go crazy with what you're eating.
Yes. I just, you know, with my clients and talking to I feel like with talking to my clients, I feel like over the years, it's always, you know, I feel like everybody around here has a lake house, or it's just you're lax. I mean, summer's supposed to be lax and less, and it is downtime, and that's a blessing, and it's great. But I think, you know, just be mindful with your indulgences. Like, pay attention to your body feedback. How do you feel when you drink all afternoon at the lake? Like, you know, like, it's just little things. Not that, you know, I'm saying not to drink and not to enjoy your life, but I think just being mindful of like, I'm going to have this fun food at dinner, but I'm not going to snack on chips all day long because that makes me not feel good. Just little things, like try to keep some constant habits, like the exercise, the a general structure on your plate. Like, try to still have a balanced breakfast or lunch, or, you know, there's ways to do vacations and weekends and summer without, you know, diet starts in August when school starts. You know, mm-hmm. there's a definite balance to it. Like, it's great to have the slowness of summer and all the things, but also in the same breath, like, how can we have a gentle structure without the rigidity of still feeling like your best self, and still, you know, not all the way being on a wagon, off the wagon, because that's just not a healthy relationship with food. And it's not, there's no peace in that. It's not sustainable. Like, there's just, it's not going to work.
And I feel like the older I get, I mean, I feel it so much more. Like,
sometimes
if I don't eat pizza a ton, but sometimes, like, I'm just going to eat a couple pieces.
Yeah.
And the next morning, I'm like, I feel like I feel it.
Yeah.
Or even alcohol. Like, I don't drink a lot. I do have drinks here and there, but it's half the time it's because I don't like the way I feel the next day.
Me
and
too.
I'm like, man, it just affects you so much more as you get older.
Yeah. So I think that's a biggie. Listen to what, like, your body's telling you.
Yes.
Listen to that body feedback and tweak accordingly. Like, what is a worth it indulgence or not? You know, that kind of thing. But I know, like, teenagers, yeah, they feel fine. They usually feel fine. But as we age, like, we do not feel as good when we eat certain things. And you don't sleep as good. And then that spills over to more carb cravings the next day because you're tired because you didn't sleep good. And so you think, oh, I'll drink again or whatever. But it's an easy, like, waterfall effect or this downward spiral to be in. And then you're just not, you know, your best self.
Yes. And I think it's interesting. We also talked about inflammation and how these fun foods lead to a lot of inflammation. And it's interesting if you know, especially if you're reading, like, the effect that food has on our health. I mean, it really all goes back to inflammation. And even I was at the dermatologist recently with one of my daughters. She occasionally gets vitiligo.
Mm-hmm.
And she's basically like, it is caused by inflammation. Like, there's so many things that we can get or our kids can get. And then, you know, you might not be able to control it, but you can help the situation by controlling the inflammation through the food that they're eating.
Yes. So the basic, like, step one to get inflammation down is to balance your blood sugar. So I'm always like, that's, like, why I'm the most passionate about it. But inflammation over time, like, all these American diseases are from inflammation, like type 2 diabetes and heart disease. And now they're calling Alzheimer's type 3 diabetes. All these things are caused from inflammation. But all inflammation isn't bad. If we didn't have any, when you cut your knee or hurt yourself, it wouldn't hurt. I mean, you know, like, so we should have some inflammation. It's just, it's so easy to have too much just from sugar and the inflammatory oils. And that's where, you know, I'm very passionate about all food fits, but if you're always getting takeout, I mean, most restaurants use inflammatory oils. So, like, how can we, like, cook something at home that's just as easy or quicker than getting an Uber or whatever? But I think, doing all that, you're just going to be a little bit more inflamed and just not feel your best. So,
yeah. And it's so interesting talking about the oils that, you know, my husband's Greek. And so this past summer we went to Greece and I think it was like a last minute tour at one of the vineyards. It was an olive vineyard. I guess, is that a vineyard? Whatever.
Yeah, I think so.
Olive grove.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, it was an olive grove, but it's called Governor's Olive Oil. But it's so interesting, and they're talking about that not all we think olive oil is healthy, but not all olive oil is the same, because some might just be a bunch of different trees mixed together, you know, especially the cheaper stuff.
Yeah.
And so this bottle, I mean, this stuff is not cheap, but they're like, you know, I'm not saying go cook your French fries in it, but do a little shot each day.
Yeah.
But it was so interesting. It's the number one used olive oil in research trials around the world.
Oh, wow.
And I think it was a Mayo Clinic. They just sent this huge shipment to them, but they were going to start giving it to their leukemia patients every day for the inflammation.
That's amazing.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I know. And so I brought some home and I've ordered it on Amazon. And like I said, it'll last us a long time because I'll just use I'll put it in my smoothie in the morning.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, maybe just a little bit a day.
It's nice to know that it's like the best and high quality.
Yeah.
You know, because I do feel like America, it's just confusing with all the labels and all the stuff. Like you think you're doing great and you're not, but that's where once, you know, we have to find that balance of like having the nutrition knowledge and knowing what we're doing, along with the wellness without obsession and not being obsessed with being perfect too. Like it's all about that balance and our thoughts and all the things. So, but yes, like maybe you should link on Amazon
I know.
The high quality olive oil.
There was a point I was like, I swear I could be a salesperson for this olive oil. Like moms I know would buy this because, you know, like I said, especially if it's just a little shot a day, you can sneak that in so easily.
Yeah.
But the reason this one has so many nutrients is because these trees are 1,000 years old.
Oh, wow.
And so it's like the older the olive oil, the older the tree, the more nutrient dense it is.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting because it said that they're using it in more and more research trials. So I was like, I think we'll hear more about it in the years to come.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's interesting to me. I'm fascinated by that whole world of food. And I mean, I believe in medicine when we need it, but I love that people are looking beyond medicine. Like, don't automatically go think that that's the solution if you're not changing certain lifestyle habits too.
Yeah. Like, how can we prevent some, we can get to the root cause of some things, you know, like we can help some things, but sometimes medicine is necessary for sure.
Yeah. Okay. And then I love your fifth point of how to build some healthy habits for summer. And that is just saying no sometimes.
Yes. And I think just as moms, I think, well, and we go back to COVID. I mean, do we remember how we were like, wow, why are we in so many activities? This is kind of nice to have some downtime.
I know.
But we went right back, didn't we?
I know. Not only that, but I feel like times two.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that several times this year. I've missed that pace of COVID. And even Ella's senior year was that year after she graduated in 2021. And I'm comparing it to Sophie's senior year where I'm like, I can't even savor it as much as I did Ella's because we have so much other stuff going on. And I miss that lower key.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm a little bit of an introvert. Like, I need some calendar boundaries. Like, I need 30 minutes on the couch. Like, I feel like I can't do that every day. But the days I do, I'm like, why don't I do this all the time? Like, I think even things like lunch with friends, sometimes you need to say no. Like, you know, just learning those boundaries and how to say no. I think can be huge, but I think in that same breath, like, summer comes with some slowness, but also I feel like our relationship with the Lord ebbs and flows. And I feel like sometimes summer's an easy time to like skip church because you're out of town, sleep in and don't do your quiet time, you know? So I'm always like, there's a balance to like having the slowness, but also like keeping that relationship with the Lord, even better instead of, you know, only when you're doing all the things, like turn on your worship music, make sure you're still doing your quiet time in the morning and that kind of stuff. So like calendar boundaries along with also to keep your relationship with the Lord going over the summer, because it is so easy to be lax on that in the summer and the nothingness. Like, we need to enjoy the nothingness, but also keep some things in our calendar.
Yeah, just to set up some of those basic simple healthy habits.
Because
you have the time to think in that space.
Yes. And for me, even, you know, like, I feel like our relationship and journey, like, whatever that looks like with food for you, like, my biggie is I've always still, like, I submit my day and my food and my thoughts to the Lord, because like body image wise, all the things, like, some of those thoughts can sneak back. And so I do feel like when I'm not in the Word and when I'm not having my worship music going, that's when the lies get louder. Or maybe when I'm overtired. I got teenagers, so I stay up late waiting on them. And, you know, all the things. I think it's just really easy to be in a bad cycle. So I think really, submitting your day to the Lord and keeping that going, even in the slowness of summer.
Yes. And let's kind of let that be kind of like the last thing that we really focus on is just body image for the summer, especially for the girls and the moms who are listening, because I don't think, you know, you see all this research and I believe it, like 90%, I think,
it's females.
We struggle with it. And if you're not struggling with it now, you probably have at some point. I mean, it's just, I don't know why, but social media probably does not make it better.
No.
You know? And even I had a teenage girl tell me a few years ago and I was like, gosh, I never thought about this, but she has this adorable curvy figure. She's got this great, you know, body. But she's like, sometimes I feel so big next to my friends because they're shaped differently.
Yeah.
You know, they're shaped like toothpicks. And so she's like, I don't think I look big, but then I see myself in a bikini next to them and compare to them. And so there's just so many ways that the enemy can work on our mind. And, you know, like we talked about earlier, it takes away your joy from life when your mind is occupied with these thoughts of food or your body or how you're looking in a bikini and you're not able to enjoy summer. So what is your advice on that?
I would just say, I mean, it's totally normal to have some worse body image days. Like, just know this perfection's not going to happen. And also remember that your body won't be perfect until we get to heaven. So, I mean, I think people are like, I don't like my stomach, or I don't like, you can't pinpoint things like, this is the one body the Lord gave you. Like, how can we honor it and love on it? Just from a gratitude standpoint, because I think it's just easy. Yeah. Like with social media and comparing, and moms even comparing to your younger self, like, it's just not, you know, comparison's the thief of joy. Like, that's just not going to help anything, like we know. But I think it's just, even with myself, I feel like some days are worse still, but more so, I just have to renew my thoughts. Like, Lord, I'm not going there today. You know, I'm not going to pause and look at myself in the reflection of this window at a shop or whatever. Like, it's funny how you have these old habits that can sneak back with the body image stuff. And I feel like, too, sometimes body image stuff could even be, it's like a heart issue, because it's like, is it pride because I want my body to look a certain way? Or, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, there's so many, like, things to the body image part. But also, I'd say moms, be mindful of, like, the words you use in front of your girls. Like, if you're one that has done all the diets and done all that, and that's your food story, but, like, to break that generational of, like, maybe your mom did that, so you think that's normal to be like, oh, you know, the cellulite, this is whatever. All the things talking about, you know, losing or the next diet you're going to do. Just be mindful of those kind of things, because just to break that generation onto the next, so that your daughter's not one that's going to do all the diets and all the things and never be content in her own skin either. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we just, like you were saying, that she was comparing, like, you know, as women, we're supposed to have curves, but at the same time, like, just our body, just like what the body the Lord gave you, like, you're just predispositioned to, some people have hips, some people have a flat stomach, some people, you know, don't have hips and they wish they had them. It's kind of like thin hair, thick hair. Like, we all want what we don't have. Mm-hmm. So that true contentment in our own skin and just being thankful for what our body can do, I think focusing on that helps.
Yes. You know, and I'd shared in my book too, that I had an eating disorder as a teenager and all that, and I've done all the common mistakes, over exercising and mm-hmm. all that. And sometimes when I feel like wanting to go back to that, like, oh, I just need to go exercise for 2 hours and work on this area, I'm like, that is really not going to benefit anybody. Like, no. Is that really how I want to spend my life? And that's something that's kind of helped me as I've gotten older, is like, if I died tomorrow, would I be so glad that I spent 2 hours at the gym?
You know? Yeah.
Or that I was so fixated on something that really wasn't, it was really more about vanity or serving myself,
yeah,
than something bigger. Or I could spend an hour trying to do a post that might help people. That's what my, you know, mm-hmm. service might look like. But for everybody else, it's different. Yours is helping women and girls with nutrition and feeling their body well. But I think as we find purpose in this world, yes. and look beyond ourselves, I think that's the biggest thing, is to think, okay, what God gave me this body, and it's, like you said, it's our one only body we get. And I would tell my girls that, like, you get one body in life, and it has to last you a long time. And my mom was sick for years, and she had 3 years where she couldn't walk, she mm-hmm. couldn't do anything. And I think about this sometimes. It really adjusted my view of my body, and just being grateful for just daily functioning. I mean, even get to go to the restroom, it would take her 30 minutes, you know, like, it was just such a process, every little mm-hmm. thing. And I'm like, I can get up and go in 2 minutes. That's such a gift, that I have that ability to function and use our body to go, you know, go do good in the world. And so I think as we do focus on that as girls and women, it helps us get out of our head.
Yes, that perspective.
Yes.
Like always, that shifting the perspective. And I've even, if I have clients that have really struggled with just that negativity and, you know, never being thankful and that kind of stuff, I feel like it can help too. It sounds silly, but do this gratitude practice when you're getting dressed. It doesn't take more time. But pick a body part that you don't love, but say something you're thankful for about it. Like, Lord, thank you that my stomach can digest all this food and I'm healthy, and, you know, not focusing on the stretch marks or, you know, whatever is on your stomach. Or thank you, Lord, for my thighs, that I am strong and I can outrun a bear if I need to. Like,
right.
you know,
I love that.
And
I
like, even that. The cellulite, you know, we're supposed to have some fat as women. Like, I feel like it's, if you have no fat, your hormones are going to be a mess more than likely. Like, that's not, that's not the healthiest you. So some cellulite is healthy, and it, you know, we can use that as a fuel source. If there's a famine, we'll have more fat to live on. You know, like, how can we shift these things to be good things and loving on our body, and that it's a healthy thing to have, you know, that kind of stuff. Always shifting those thoughts.
Yes. Yeah. And because it is, I mean, it's, our bodies are a gift, and just to have our health is such a, and to be able to do this work we feel called to do, I think that's such a gift in itself.
Yes.
Oh, this has been so good. Or any parting thoughts that you would give to a listener, whether she's 18 or 55?
I would just say, take all of this stuff one day, one meal, one thought at a time. I think that's kind of the only way to be healthy. I think thinking about this perfect thing we're going to eat in 4 days, or thinking about, or being anxious about a party that's in 4 days, that, or, you know, like, just how can you honor your body today and take those thoughts captive and plan your 3 meals and one day at a time, like, around your schedule. Like, how can I, you know, get some protein in at lunch? What does that look like? Like, and, you know, that kind of thing, so that you can just really nourish your body and have that calm hunger and just feel good and feel like your best self. But I would say, yeah, one day, one meal, one thought at a time is always my go-to, and it makes you, it's so doable.
That's awesome. And I love it. And I feel like that keeps you in the present, which is where we find God.
You know,
we're not going to find him tomorrow or thinking about yesterday.
Yep.
It's when we're being present and just appreciating the food that we've been given. And the easy access we have to food here in America.
Yeah, it's such a blessing. It and is. The Lord wouldn't have given us taste buds either if it wasn't meant to be enjoyed.
That's true.
Such a blessing.
It is. Well, Meredith, thank you so much for coming on the show. I know this is going to be so helpful to so many families as we walk into the summer. So I hope you will join us again in the future.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Friends, thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm so grateful to have you here. And if you enjoyed the show, please follow the Girl Mom Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen and leave a ratings or review so others can find these messages too. Also, my new book for moms called More Than a Mom, How Prioritizing Your Wellness Helps You and Your Family Thrive is now available everywhere books are sold. This book is for girl moms and boy moms and full of encouragement no matter what season of parenting you're in. Find the link to this book and my other books in the show notes. Thanks again for your support and have a great day.